All right, welcome everybody to another fine installment, episode number 40 of Free Markets Green Earth. I'm Nikki P here, as always, with my wonderful co-host, Ben the Liberty Hippie. How are you doing today, Ben?
Doing all right. I'm trying to share this Facebook Live link, and I feel like my grandfather.
You should. That's what Facebook wants you to feel like. And the fact of the matter is, we're pretty old if we're still using Facebook, right? That's for boomers and shit.
That's what I've heard. I've heard all the kids, all the youth are no longer using Facebook, so.
I mean, they're using TikTok, which is owned by China, so, you know, kind of setting things off, starting early.
Imagine that. Imagine that. Those kids and their Chinese devices. That's where this came from, right?
We'll see where we get in here. All right. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about the connection between the COVID and climate change. Is it there? Is it real? Is it a thing?
What did you just call it?
The COVID.
Did you just...
No, I'm ripping that off of somebody else.
All right. Whatever you say.
Yeah, I'm calling it that so when they scan this later to pull it off, like they don't.
I like that. Tricky.
You got to start using different words for things. You know, like you don't ever refer to Nazis. You refer to them as the bad guys from WW2. So,
all right.
Today's episode, we're gonna talk about some connections that to me feel a little bit forced between the climate change and the current conundrum that we find ourselves in this particular episode. Did you know there was a connection before I mentioned it to you earlier today?
I'm not sure. I had heard on a podcast somebody mentioned that Bernie said something about coronavirus and the climate, but I'm not sure. It was like right around the same time, and I think my mind was blown both times equally.
Were you at all surprised by it? Because to me, like, I'm never surprised when anyone tries to tie anything into it, because it's always everything is responsible because of climate change.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like...
Like, eventually you're like, really? But yeah, it makes sense in their logic.
I think that's my reaction with most of the things that happened today. It's like, really? And then you think about it for half a minute, 10 seconds, and you're just like, no, I get it now. Okay, carry on. Nothing to see.
I'd like to give a big thank you to James Corbett for today's episode, too. He posted a short little synopsis of a lot of this that I listened to and enjoyed, and I'm like, you know, that seems like we should make an episode about that. Yeah. And then Ben's like, Nick, I need links. I need things to look at. So I'm like, okay, here you go. And then just sent him to James's link page,
Yeah. Which
I then just copped all the links for ours. So
when I did a quick DuckDuckGo of things, most of what I saw was how the government's reaction to the Kung Flu. I don't know. I got to come up with a different name. The Coov.
You don't like the Coov?
This just seems weird.
That's why I like it.
Seems inappropriate.
Wonder why I like it? Of course that's why I like it. If I could have called it Cooter, I would have, but Coov just makes sense.
You know there's a turtle named after, called Cooter, a river Cooter. I digress. But yeah,
is it endangered? Like
all these, it's not actually. It's pretty prevalent down here, but... up there might be a little, but it was all about how government has reacted to the current situation, and why can't we do this to stop climate change? It's like that mind blowing. That so that was what I saw, and I was just appalled. But that's to be expected, I suppose.
But the thing is that there's people that are excited because it is helping climate change. One of those articles I sent you, literally, I think they said it's down 25% the emissions in China right now. Like, that's a good start. What can we get rid of in our lives to make it even more? They're so excited about it, Ben. They're so excited that literally something that is going to destroy our economies.
So, honestly, like, it's tough, right? It's tough because we look at this and people are going to die. There are going to be economic hardships, but that's okay. The most of the economic hardships are coming from the state. They're coming from the state getting involved and jacking with things, right? The fact that there's bipartisan support for $1,000. Hey, everybody, let's give out $1,000. Thanks, Andrew Yang. Like, it just doesn't work. Like, that's, the Fed pumping billions of dollars into the stock market. Into
billions? You mean trillions.
Making things out of friend of... Well, yeah. I, that's what I saw. I wanted to make sure I was right and not, I tend to under-exaggerate, so when I do over-exaggerate, it seems more real. So when we kind of look at it and look at what's actually happening, the quarantine thing is, it sucks. everything shutting down is kind of sucks, but at the same time, like, there's a silver lining to that. You know, where people are starting to realize that, like, okay, I can actually parent my child for a day or two and not just set them in front of the TV and actually try to do some schoolwork with them and not just ship them off to some government center where they are, you know, taught whatever by someone who's, you know, supposedly trained, and all they're trained to do is grade tests and administer, you know, standards. But like, to me, that's a good thing, right? We're learning, we're seeing that, like, we don't need all of this, you know. But that's my soapbox. But anyway,
yeah, sure, you see that, but I don't think that's the message other people are getting. I think the message other people are getting is, please help me, I can't be here doing this,
and that's where we are. I think that's I think it's where we are for the most part. But there are people that are seeing, right, that these things are not entirely necessary. And, you know, I think that's kind of, I don't know, that's something to take when you look at climate change. Like, you know, you kind of realize that, like, maybe I didn't eat all this stuff, or, you know, maybe plastic bags really are better because they're a little bit more sanitary when I need to worry about health. And there's trade-offs, and I don't know. I think it's an eye-opening experience, and I wish people would kind of, I don't know, use a little bit more sense. Not that there's a lot of sense running around out there in the gen pop, but you know,
you're feeling so disgruntled tonight, it's fun. So the big things that, like, I pulled is that there's the way that the funny thing,
sorry for the tangent.
No, you're good. So James actually described it as it's like a sibling rivalry kind of thing, that all of the environmentalists are pissed off that, well, everyone's paying attention and doing big things for this virus deal, but nobody's concerned about our thing anymore. Like, come on, people, we gotta get more eyes back on the environment and climate change. We gotta pay attention to that. We don't care about that virus thing. This is what's really gonna kill us all. You know, and if you read some of the articles and some of the videos that, like, are in the links, like, oh my God, dude, it's pretty accurate. Like, there's a genuine feeling of, no, come on, over here. You got to pay attention to us. We're what's important.
That was one of the articles I found was, I mean, it was written for Teen Vogue, you know, but
he just happened to stumble across it, not even research. He was just reading his weekly and
accidentally.
It was on the website, and it's like
in the bathroom, and
maybe we could talk about that. Just happened to tie in.
But no, but, like, you know, it really is just, it's so, like, mind-blowing, this just, look, you know, the way the world has been able to mobilize itself and shut down in the blink of an eye to properly respond to the coronavirus is proof that political leaders actually do have the ability to make rapid change happen if they want. So where's that rapid change response for the climate crisis? Like, no, like, look around you. This is not a good thing. Don't be butthurt over this. Like, you don't want to be a part of that, you know? Like,
well, what's frustrating is that you think, like, you know, from our perspective, you would have, in a normal world or in a sane libertarian world, you'd have people able to trust some news source. And we've put people in a place where they don't trust anything that comes out of the TV, which is probably good in some senses. But in a case like this, where there's no objectivity on, like, say, a deadly virus, if it turns out to be that, you know, coming to wreak havoc, everyone's like, yeah, it's the boy who cried wolf. What is it this time? You know, you try and raise the alarm all the time, and it just never goes anywhere. So when you try and tell people you should probably stay at home and really work to kind of not be out and about, and then nobody does it. They go twice as hard because you've ruined whatever credibility you had.
I feel like that's on display, right? That idea is on display with this whole thing, right? We've cried wolf over the environment. We cry wolf over, you know, the lack of copper. How many times have we cried wolf over some sort of environmental travesty that's about to hit and wipe out civilization in the next 10 years, and nothing happens? Like, this is the same thing. This is, you know...
What, you mean human hubris? Is that what you were getting at? Human beings claim they know everything about everything? God. And I guess that's the thing that's always where I always feel like I'm in a weird place, because I don't believe that. I don't think we know everything. That'd be insane. Like,
does anybody really believe that, though? Like,
I think you have to stand behind some of the things that people... Like, to sit there and say, why can't we just go through and overnight end an entire economy, and that's a good thing for climate justice. To believe that, like, you have to believe that you have all the answers and that you are supremely correct. I don't ever claim to have all the answers on here. Like, I just want people to think about things.
I guess. I feel like people can in good faith sort of, you know, like, I don't know what's around the corner, but I do know, or I think that like this action will be better in the long run kind of thing. Like, but you know, to a degree, like people too, like a lot of people don't, you know,
to grind the entire global economy to a halt overnight.
Oh God. Well, that's just not looking at like, that's just feelings, straight up feelings. Like, you know, you want to end the world in 10 years. There you go. That's how you do it, folks. Right there. You know, like, I don't know.
So what do you think about some of these things that they're trying to blame climate change on? A lot of unknown viruses are being released out of Antarctica and the melting ice caps. You know, all of the human movement into unexplored territories with all these exotic animals. Bound that we're going to contract something from those exotic animals because now we're having to share habitats.
Yeah, well, you know, like...
Where's the right place for humanity for these people? Is it just we don't get to have a spot? We don't get to be anywhere?
That's the problem. Well, that's the problem, right? That's what it boils down to. Like, where... Yes, okay, so the climate is getting warmer. Maybe things are being released. Maybe they're not. Maybe, you know, this comes out of a lab. Maybe, who knows? But you're going to have interactions. Like, where did diseases come from 300 years ago? Where did the freaking... What's it called? The Roman Empire. Why did that collapse? What was it, the Justinian plague or something like that, right? Like, where did that come from? That was long before global warming, let me tell you about that. Like, that's around because that's what happens. Things evolve, things mutate, and that happens. And humanity moves on and learns how to deal with it. Like, these things are going to happen. To cry that, you know, this is happening because there's...
Well, the first link on dude's, you know... website, literally the first thing it says out of Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm like, oh Jesus, this girl's from here. I could run into her.
Do you
somewhere
know her?
She did look familiar. I don't know, but her big thing was, you know, oh, we have all these viruses that are they just keep creating themselves, and you're like, yeah, because that's what living things do. They procreate and they change over time. She was under the assumption, apparently, that nothing new, there's never been a new virus in history until human beings started existing. The Black Plague's never happened or nothing, you know, nothing, even though right. They were pre-global war or climate crisis.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there have been plagues from the beginning of time. Like, for as long as humanity's existed, for as long as freaking animals have existed. Like,
it's more amazing
if
this doesn't happen
animals
all the time.
Don't get viruses, like, you, exactly right.
Trees? Like, how many? Like, you can go through you can go through forests, like old growth forests, and you can actually go through the rings of the trees and see exactly when viruses hit the trees. Yeah. Like, it's you'll cut two trees down in a part of a forest and you'll see a blight that happened because, you know, something just happened to happen. Sometimes they make it through, sometimes they don't. But you'll see you'll see those dead rings that are just kind of gangly in there.
It's just there's so much. It's not even misinformation. It's like a lack of information. It's just this. Yeah, human hubris, I guess, or something. It's this idea that, like, everything I know, everything I do is right, and I can't be wrong, and there's no other way to look at things. And this whole corona thing is, like, the same way. Like, that's... To link it in is just absurd. It's just absurd. Yeah. Mind-boggling, but it's not mind-boggling.
So, what do you feel about, what's her name, Greta having to take her Friday climate rallies into the virtual world because they don't work, they can't do them outdoors with all those people together now? I mean, I guess to me, I feel like if most of these environmentalists, I feel like they should be loving it. Yeah, spread this around. Let's kill people off. Let's get rid of humanity. Let's finish the job. That's what I feel like they're always saying. Or they just want to get rid of us. Not just all the people, just them.
I don't know. Which people do they want to get rid of? It's one of those things where... yeah, good. You're stuck inside now. Like, is that what you like? What I don't know. What do you expect is going to happen when you like shut down the economy? Right, you shut everything down. Let me tell you, you're not going to be outside like playing in the woods. You might be out in the woods, but you're certainly not going to be playing. You know, and that's what a lot of this boils down to. And if she's stuck inside, great.
You mean people that have never had to live a rural life at all?
At all.
I mean, we've talked about it before. You see those. Fucking those tweets where these people are these terrible people out here. How dare they? Everyone should live in a city. You're just the dregs of society. Can't we just kill them all and make Soylent Green out of them?
I saw somebody say something like that the other day. I wish I could remember it. Call, pull it up. But it's just, it is. It's absurd. These people, like, don't. How can you, like, hate humanity so much? You know, like, where does that come from? How angry are you about your childhood? You know, like,
I think they're really dumb. Like, they've seemed like, there are a few things, like, I'm not a big fan of, like, the Men in Black movies, but man, if that line with Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith is, or a person is smart, people are dumb, skittish, crittery little things. And it's so true, man. Like, because you just watch, like, when all this is going down, and you feel like everyone's mm-hmm. reacting and nobody's thinking. Like, you've got people on the mm-hmm. one side, this is a complete farce, and you just, I'm going to go out and do whatever. And you're like, maybe. You might be right. You know, or, oh my God, this is going to end the world. And I'm like, maybe. I don't know that I've seen any evidence of that. I'm mm-hmm. not seeing any evidence. Oh, there's so much misinformation that's being peddled.
Yeah.
Mostly by the people that I think are supposed to be giving us the right information. And nobody knows what's going on. It's kind of like, shouldn't you sit, wait, analyze the facts, and then, like, react to those as opposed to some political stump that you're on?
So is that...
Is there a virus out there, do you think?
I feel like that's a cultural thing, right? And maybe even a, not necessarily cult, well, like a global culture of social media, of internet, where, you know, like, everything's immediate. You react, you don't think, there's no processing of any sort of information.
Mm-hmm.
And this just spoon feeding, you know, you look at it with, like, the whole climate change thing, this spoon feeding information, because, like, the quote experts say so, right? Like, well, whoever the expert is on this, because, you know, whoever called them an expert, you know, they have some sort of paper or some sort of, you know, whatever, they're an expert and we should listen to them. There's no questioning of, like, the experts, right? Like, you don't question someone that is a scientist. You know, you don't question your priest.
Well, it's the idea you immediately become a denier.
That's it, right? Like, I don't know if I've said it before on here, I've heard it before, like, science has become a religion to a degree, you know, like, you cannot question science or you are a denier, right? Like, and you don't want to be a denier, get you all sorts of trouble.
It's like, I'm not denying anything. I want more information. They're light on information. They're light on facts. They're giving me a whole lot of theory and nothing to back it up.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's the whole thing, right? And that's the whole relationship between coronavirus and freaking climate change. Like, where there's no information. Like, this is normal. This is how things operate. I don't know.
Yeah, man. Let's see what else we got under these lists. It is interesting. And this is something that I think will ultimately be good. So, it's not all bad news, I guess, with this. There's at least one article, and I know James looks at this as a bad thing, but I'm like, yeah, I love technology. Technology's the best. That there are a lot of people that see this right here is what's going to be the kickstart to the new industrial revolution. Like, this is the thing that's going to show everybody a better way to do this, a better way to be a person, a way to be less. I mean, dude, I'm not against if it kills, you know, if we don't have to use as much energy and fossil fuels to stay at home and work, and that's an option. And maybe a lot of people didn't think it was an option before. Maybe there's gonna be whole new industries that pop up because of this. I'm all about that life. Like, I want to see things get better. I'm not happy about the force element of it. Obviously, in our ideal world, it's all property rights, and I would just say, keep your virus ass over there. You don't get to come into my family's space. Solves things pretty quickly.
But, and that's why I've been trying to tell people, and it just doesn't. People don't like to hear that. But it boils down to the force thing right now, and it's just, man, there is so much force going on. And look, if the NBA wants to shut their season down, by all means, go for it. You know?
Yeah.
At the same time, I would love to see, like, the opera and museums be forced to stay open because they're government entities and I paid for that. And if I want to go, you know, like, it would just be that contrast of the public things that are closed versus, or the private things rather that are closed compared to the public things that have to stay open, and how little say you have in that. But I don't know, whatever. I'm rambling. No, I do. I think this industrial revolution thing is it's big. It's big. How many people are being sent home from work and told to work remotely, you know? Like, there's
you have to ask the question, why have I been going into work for the last 5 years if this is an option?
Well, there you go, right? Like, and there's some people that, like, it's you know, you do 30 hours at home and then you come in for 10 hours, right? And you still, yeah, you still got to go in. There's still things you have to do there, and sometimes you can't, but, like, there's a whole lot more jobs that can, you can do that from home, right? You can access it from home. You can, it can function. It works. Why not? You know? And it's great because it all, now that this is essentially being forced by the virus, like, all the hiccups, all the parts that people don't have, they're going to get them now, right? So, like, now you can work remotely. Now you have, like, the USB over Ethernet thing that you didn't have before because your company got you one. And now you can work from home. And all that stuff is there and it's in place. The infrastructure is starting to be built. And it's great. It's great. And this is kind of what I was saying with like, the school thing. It forces people to see what is possible, right? What structures we don't need in place, you know, what things we don't have to have that we've come to say, we have to have this. The government has to provide this for us. And it's point blank. Now we're seeing they don't, you know?
So there's been a couple, there's been fear mongering so big on, like, so much of this.
No.
And there's some really smart people that have been, like, canaries screaming at the top of their lungs for weeks. Kevin Geary is a guy I pay attention to. He's a smart, smart guy. And he's just been screaming about this at the top of his lungs.
About what?
I would say he's been kind of more on the alarmist side of things just because he talks about it a lot, and I'm okay with that. But he also hasn't, like, given me a whole lot to work with as far as, like, things I should do to be alleviating issues. A lot of people, like, kind of give you the impression this is going to be the end of civilization. You're like, okay, well, if it's the end of civilization, then I'm going to go out and party. Like, I'm going to go and do everything I wanted to do before, you know, this all crumbles. If it's not the end of civilization, then what am I trying to prepare for? And what am I looking at? And I feel like I've gotten not gotten much out of that. The other more alarmist voice that I've been listening to is actually Matt Rothbard over at the Wealth, Power, and Influence with Jason Stapleton. He's the co-host over there. And he's been kind of just screaming about it, too, about as long. His is definitely a more optimistic tone because I think he sees that there are issues. He's frustrated that people aren't listening. What's weird is, I think a lot of people see, you know, guys are trying to look at it more sensibly and think that we're coming at it from a, you know, whoa, you're just caving to the state situation. And maybe there's an element of that. There's also an element of, I don't want to get shot before I know what the score is. You know, you don't run into battle before you know what you're fighting. And there's so little information on the battlefield. Like, it's just, wait, I'm going to run into a torrent of bullets and that's going to be the end of it. Mm-hmm. Game over, man.
It's so difficult because the information out there is zero.
Well, it's incomplete, overcomplete, or nonsense.
Well, and that's it, right? Like, I think it's a mix of all of it, right? Like, there's tests are bad, you know? How many people that are in their 20s have got the cough and not gone to the doctor and not reported it? All these things, I've never seen it actually.
I don't know, is that as high as the number of people that have gone and then gotten turned away because the government wouldn't allow people to create tests and serve them?
Oh my god, dude, I don't like they're holy crap, like, mind boggling. I know because I'm from, like, upstate New York, and this is where I talk to people and get news from, whatever.
I've been calling my parents every day just to kind of see what's been going on.
So there was a girl who was visiting Wuhan who came home in December with a cough, and she's up at Skidmore College, and she went to get tested or go to the doctor or whatever, and we're not going to give you a test. They wouldn't give her a test because we don't think you have it. Not a big deal. Okay. My sister-in-law came back from Milan days before they shut Italy down. She was, I think she's supposed to still be there. She's doing, like, a modeling shoot thing for a couple months. And,
your sister's a model?
No, my sister-in-law. It doesn't run on this side of the family, man. You see this thing.
I'm looking at that hairline right now, and I was just in utter amazement.
Mm-mm, no, sir. But so, and she came back and she went to get a test in whenever it was, right before, and they wouldn't give her a test. Like, there's the tests that are out there don't work. They won't give people tests. They couldn't give people tests because the government got their sticky fingers in it and got it all buggered up. So the numbers that we see are so skewed, and they're so just, it's not even that they're skewed necessarily. It's that we don't know.
Well, because, so while you're saying that, so we know that the numbers are low because of that. But then on the other side of things, I'm hearing nothing. I'm hearing so many stories of, oh, well, they've been over-diagnosing. Because a lot of the way they've been diagnosing is, hey, if you come in and you give us all the list of flu symptoms, we're going to say you got it.
Yeah. And that makes it even smaller, right? Like, I mean, that it really, it's one of those things where I hate to say, like, you know, I don't buy it all and put my tinfoil hat on and start stomping around the room with a spaghetti strainer on. But, like, I don't know, man. There's just too much. It's just like...
Wear yes, the strainer, this, my friend.
Pastafarian. I get it. I get the fear. And to be frank, like, I will do my best to stay away from people over the age of 60 because it would affect them more. There are certain things that I will do. There are certain things, too, that I think are in a vast overreach.
So where you're in Georgia. So where, what's going on with you right now? Like with your, cause I mean, I live up in Cleveland and you know, my, our mine was the first state to just,
you got the SS stomping through.
Oh yeah. They just, phew, let's light this up. you're all locked in your homes. You're never coming out again. I joke. I've luckily had a day job for the moment. God forbid when it goes away, because I'm screwed when that happens. I've been paying off too much debt for too long that I'm like not quite out of the woods on. And because I'm a part-time employee, I'm not going to get unemployment. So I'm just hanging on as long as I can.
See, that's a but that's it though, right? That's it. And this is where I think like, and this isn't environmental, but this is where it splits, right? That can go two ways.
Well, I'm going to become part of the environment when I die.
It can be like you have people that are going to say, well, this is why everybody has to have a job. This is why everybody has to be given, we have to have, you know, universal health care. We used to have, you know, this is why we have to like all these.
Call me crazy, but nobody else ran up my bills when I had my daughter.
But you're going to have like it can fork two ways, and it can go that way where it's totally nationalized, totally social, or it can go the other way where it's like, you know, if government didn't get involved with that, like you could still be working right now. If they didn't like shut down this freaking restaurant, if they didn't shut down this stupid bar, like you could still be doing this sort of stuff.
I'd be wiping everything down like I currently am, just for the record.
Well, but there you go, right?
But now it's hard to find Clorox so I can wipe down the machines that I have to work on that are all touchscreen.
Oh God, I don't even want to get into it. I've been talking price gouging with too many people over the last few days. Like my mind is going to explode. It's like
I need them for safety for my actual job that we can't get them shipped in because they, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause Billy Joe down the road has 500 freaking boxes in his closet. Cause nobody could do anything about the price of them. But, anyway, what was your original question? I forget. Oh, down in Georgia.
Yeah, what do you guys have going on with you down there?
I don't know a whole lot. I don't keep my finger on a whole lot. I know, I think Kemp, the governor, tried to pass some emergency, I think it did pass some emergency rules that gives him a little bit more power than he should have. And I think that passed, like, with the exception of one person, Matt Gertler, who's, I don't know what he's doing. He's running for something this coming up year, but... He basically said like, no, like governor doesn't need this much power. And there was one person that stood up and said that, schools have closed. We got that going on.
Which has been weird, I'm sure, for you and me, in that nothing has changed in that front.
Well, and that's it. Like,
oh, that's right. You do have some kids in school. For me, like my Irma has no idea anything's going on other than like I've tried to get her to understand something's changed, but for her every day has basically been the same as it was before.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's it. Like our youngest goes to preschool for, I think it's like 4 hours a day, twice a week, you know? So it's like really insignificant. Like we'll go to the libraries on Monday and Wednesday and do homeschool, but we don't do that. And so the big kids like kind of know, they kind of get it, and they hear me. That of course they hear me. Like my son is so like,
yeah,
I gotta tone it down around him because he picks up on things and doesn't get the full context and is like fully convinced about things. Like, no, dude, you gotta stop and think. But you know,
well, you know, for Irma, literally all that's changed on our end is that we are not doing play dates right now. We're kind of hanging out at home doing home stuff, you know.
We didn't loving do play family dates anyway. I went out and
you hate everyone in your neighborhood, huh?
I don't have a neighborhood. I have like a, you know, I live on a road that's essentially a horseshoe.
Now I'm living on a dirt road.
It's probably about 7 mile horseshoe, and I don't know. There's maybe 15, 20 houses on it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, look, if things go south, like, or sideways or whatever you want to, like, I mean, you know, we're out there.
If it gets really bad, you're just going to give me like a, you're going to give me like a, an eighth of an acre somewhere out there that we can just hang out for a while.
Transporter. Yeah. Well, and that's it. You know, it's just, it's so like crazy and bizarre. And, but you know, you look around and like, there's places in town that are giving free lunches out to people, you know, to these kids. Oh,
my youngest brother's a police officer out in Las Vegas, and he's been on duty handing out lunches from the school. My mom is a teacher up in New York, and she's been off, but they're now going to call her back to do much the same thing, you know, hand out food from the school. Mm-hmm. Which is odd to me that not allowed to congregate. That seems like an awful lot of congregation, but
right. Right. Yeah, I know. I don't get it. I don't understand. Whatever floats your boat. If it makes you feel safer, it makes you feel better. I do appreciate seeing the sort of private companies do things, whether it's they shut things down or they offer goods or services. I don't know. You know, you got Pornhub giving out free subscriptions to people in Italy. You got I don't know how many homeschool curriculum websites and stuff giving out free stuff to parents.
Well, that's because they're all run by people like us who are like, yes, my children, come see what's in here, read our propaganda.
Yeah, I suppose. But all the same, I mean, there's not a whole lot of propaganda in a grilled cheese sandwich. Yeah.
That's what you say right now.
That cheese filled with antibiotics and, you know.
Oh, here, I thought we were putting pocket constitutions inside there.
Yeah, maybe you could, I don't know.
Or wait, no, we wrap them in pocket constitutions.
The thing is, if you figure out how to put the mayonnaise down right when you grill your grilled cheese, you get Lysander Spooner on the bread.
Wait, what is this mayonnaise and grilled cheese nonsense?
Oh, dude, don't even... If you've never done it, you need to do it and then talk to me. Don't bash it until you've done it. Just a smear of grilled cheese, of mayo on the side of the bread that goes down to the skillet. And let me tell you, just...
Ben, both golden. Sides go onto the skillet.
You don't slice your bread. Like, the you got your sandwich, you got your fillings, then you got the outside of the sandwich. The outside of the sandwich is just a little smear of mayo, and because it's basically egg. And so when you put it on the frying pan, it toasts up real nice.
Yeah.
That golden brown.
Yeah, I just put butter on it if I were to do it. Personally,
I did see that's the thing. I did put butter on it before, is and then I don't know, it's probably 25 ish.
And now you're convinced that mayo is the way to do it.
Oh, it's so much better! So much better.
I'll give it a try. Give it like a try. Eggs.
It's a crispier grilled cheese.
Oh, I do like crispy. So I guess so. Let's kind of pull it around here because we've hit that time of day. So what are our takeaways?
Can we pull it around?
I think so. So what are the takeaways between the connections between global warming and the COVID?
There is no connection. There's no connection. There's no connection other than
people being excited.
Standard climate evolution and standard human evolution. Standard viral evolution. This is just sort of nature's course. You might say that some of these things evolve more when people take antibiotics, and you know, viruses and stuff get more, well, viruses don't even get affected by antibiotics, so I don't know. Maybe there's something that we're doing as people, but if you want to pin it to climate evolution, you're bonkers, dude.
Let's just say that nature is a big, beautiful bitch.
She is.
And I want to rub oil on her shoulders. See what happens.
Be careful. She'll bite you.
It's going to be coconut oil. Not a freak here, whatever.
But that's the thing, though, right? Like, I think overall, we think we know everything. We know nothing. We know a sliver. We know a sliver of nothing. And we try to fit everything into our paradigm and to fit our narrative. And if that narrative is climate change, we're going to fit it in there. And I think to try to take a step back and look at it all.
I need to put that PDF I did up my senior year of college up into our webpage, because I think
podcasters rule the world. Is that one?
No. The one specifically on global warming and the semiotic analysis of it within the news.
All
right. There's some insights. It's an interesting little time capsule to look at how global warming was portrayed in the media in 2006. Obviously, it was considered global warming back then, so Well, you got yeah, that.
What was it? Was it climate change first, and then global warming, and then...
No, it's global cooling, and then global warming. Cooling. That's what it was. And then climate change, and then I think we're up to climate justice now, or whatever.
No, it's climate evolution, man. It's just, call it what it is, climate evolution. It's changing.
Yeah, but that makes you think about it. But that makes you think it happens naturally, and it can't happen naturally. It's got to be our fault. Even if it is our fault, can we not ask the question if maybe that's better? We do seem to be doing pretty good on the planet right now. Like, we seem to be thriving.
We could talk about it all for days, man, for days.
Look, when we have that conversation, I've been getting more people talking to us about it. I love when people talk to us about this, because I will talk nature and economics with people any day of the week. I had one of our In and Out listeners mention, he's like, "Have you gotten Alex Epstein on yet?" And I'm like, "Not yet. We need to." There's a lot of people I want to get on and kind of talk to.
We got somebody fancy next week.
Well, I'll make sure it happens. I don't know that the corona has knocked out, or the COVID's knocked out anything on people, you know?
That's the glory of this, the second industrial revolution, man.
If you,
I could have the coup all I want, and you ain't gonna get it,
because I'm sitting behind a camera.
Surprise!
But hopefully, we do get together with our guest next week. It should be a lot of fun. I'm gonna try and do it as a live, same way we've been doing them. Mm-hmm. Let us know if you prefer YouTube or Facebook. I'm not sold on either one yet. We don't have anyone who follows us on YouTube, so
do we have anybody following us on Facebook?
Yeah. We do. I mean, we're getting our listens. Our listens have been going up.
Good deal.
I'm excited about that. We still have people listening to some of our stuff, and I'm cool with that, you know?
Bring it.
All right. Well, I think that's going to be it, Ben. Let's go out and, you know, be good people. Go check out freemarketscreenearth.com if you want the show notes and all the links. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn more. I'm still diligently working on that book I was writing for this.
Oh, God. You know, like that... Yep, I hear you.
I'm lazy. Hopefully, if I get put out of work, maybe that'll get done. We'll see.
Silver linings, brother. Silver linings.
I don't know how I'm gonna pay to keep having podcasts go out, but whatever.
We'll figure it out. I want to look. This is totally unrelated. I wonder what the lottery's doing right now. Are there more people playing the lottery or less people playing the lottery?
Well, you'd have to leave the house, and we know no one in San Francisco is playing the lottery, right?
True that.
All right, Facebook land. Take it easy.
Peace.
This podcast is a proud creation of the Mad Audio Lab. For more information, check out madaudiolab.com. Free Markets Green Earth is part of the Liberty Hippie Podcast Network. If you like what we do, be sure to check out Homesteads and Homeschools, Peace Freaks, Cannabis Heals Me, and This Week in Liberpods. We're living proof that libertarian doesn't mean washed up Republican.